Hello everyone, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. We are ending the month of January with a sports article, and the title is Brazil Preps for 2016, and this is day three of our article. And we've already talked a lot about the expectations for this World Cup, and we see that there are varying opinions. What have we learned so far? Can you give us just a brief review? I want to ask our panelists, which are joining me once again today, Peter and Ellen, to give us just some highlights of things we've learned over the past couple of days. We'll start with you, Peter.
Yeah, so we've been talking about how Brazil hosted the World Cup and is now going to host the Olympics. And both are very huge projects. They are very big events. You have people coming from all around the world, and there's a lot to do to get ready. But they're also saying that this isn't a fair comparison, that Brazil is experiencing some problems, some delays with the Olympics, but they had problems with the World Cup as well. But they still put on a good show. It was one of the best tournaments that took place. Mm-hmm. So some people saying they are the same, that you can compare them. Some people are saying that they're not the same.
Okay, very good. And Ellen?
Right, just reiterating much of what Peter has said, this article is focusing primarily on this idea of whether or not Brazil will be able to prepare, and we see that those directly involved with its planning are being very optimistic in their viewing and saying that, there's a lot of planning involved and there's a lot of analysis on what is good and bad to take from the World Cup experience and apply to the Olympic experience, but that there isn't any panic. It's just planning.
Okay. Well, this is quite a serious issue because everything needs to be completed on time, and you have to make sure that all the building codes and so forth are met, that things aren't just thrown together, because we want everyone to be safe inside the buildings. People are coming from all over the world, and so if you don't have the proper infrastructure in place, that makes your country look bad, right? So you don't want that. So there are a lot of concerns here. These are serious issues, but I want to take a moment to break away from the seriousness and look at some fun facts concerning the 2016 games in Brazil. First of all, there will be 42 sports. 42 sports will be contested, and two are returning, golf and rugby. Golf has not been played in the Olympics for 112 years. And so I'm sure those who enjoy the game of golf are excited to see that return. I like to play golf from time to time. And do either of you play golf, Peter?
Yeah, I play a little bit. I grew up playing with my grandpa.
Okay, great. And Ellen, do you play
golf? I only play the miniature version.
Okay, miniature golf. That's fun. That's quite different. I don't think that's going to be an Olympic sport.
No.
But who knows?
Sure,
maybe
not.
Someday. And then we also have rugby that returns after 92 years. And if you're not familiar with rugby, you're throwing around a ball. It's similar to American football, but a little more rough, actually. They don't have a lot of the padding and so forth. So if you're familiar with American football, it's somewhat similar to that. But that is returning after 92 years. And also there are 33 venues spread across four regions of the city. And something I found interesting, they're actually going to have 39 test events. And so they want to make sure that everything runs smoothly. So between August of 2014, which, was last year, and May of 2016, they are actually going to have these test events to help make sure that everything is going smoothly. And so that's already begun. And so, of course, you would expect those sorts of things, that they're going to test everything out because people are coming from all over the world. They have to make sure that everything is working properly. And if you want to find out more information, I got this information from the Rio 2016 website, rio2016.com. You can find out much more information, and it's quite useful and interesting, actually, if you just go to their website. Well, today we are finishing up our sports article, day three of Brazil Preps for 2016. And there are high expectations, and there are, you know, a lot of concerns as well. So let's go ahead and have our first reading. Open up your magazine to page 40, and we will read the first column.
But in Brazil, there's also something called the Haitino Brasileiro, a phrase to describe always finding a way to get something done, even if it involves ignoring rules or cutting corners. And that approach troubles IOC members, who note that Rio de Janeiro is further behind than Athens, where preparations for the 2004 Olympics went down to the wire. The long delay in construction on the Deodoro Cluster, a former army base in working-class North Rio that will play host to fencing, shooting, and mountain biking events, plus other sports, is among the biggest worries. Also of concern is the Olympic Stadium, where work to extend the capacity from 45,000 to 60,000 spectators won't even begin until early 2016. Then there are fears construction could be disrupted by work stoppages or a delay in financing from Brazil's three layers of government. While a key metro line that will link Olympic sites with the beaches of Copacabana and Ipanema isn't scheduled to be completed until May 2016.
All right, well, we start off this part for today. It says, but in Brazil. And so what in the world is that talking about? Well, we need to go back to yesterday, and we heard from Ann Binder, and he says that he insists that's planning, not panic, and that was referring to adding the 8,000 workers. And so we continue on today with but in Brazil. There's also something, and they have this title for it. You don't have to worry about, you know, how to say that. The idea is they have this phrase to describe how they do something. And what is that, Ellen?
It is this idea of the Brazilian way. That phrase is actually jeitinho brasileiro, which means the Brazilian way. And directly translated or explained, it kind of means to ignore rules or cutting corners if needed.
So actually they're just finding a way to get something done. And we can relate to that, you know, if you're working on something and you have to get it finished, you find a way to get it done. But they use an interesting phrase here of cutting corners. It says, even if it involves ignoring rules or cutting corners. But now we're talking about constructing buildings, venues, and so forth. And so they could even cut corners there. And what do we mean, first of all, by cutting corners, Peter?
Well, you've probably also heard the term shortcut. And so maybe you're running around a track and you cut the corner. That means you're taking a shorter way. But really, you need to stay on the track and run the complete race. So it's almost cheating. Other times it's taking a shortcut. It can be a negative or kind of a neutral saying. It doesn't always have to be a bad thing. And here we're talking about construction, and they are cutting corners, so the article says. And that can be a bad thing, because we're talking about people's safety.
Yeah, or at least this is an idea in Brazil, and so if they follow this idea, it means they would be cutting corners, which also means that they might save money, and they might get it done faster, but it may compromise safety, right? So if you cut corners and you don't do everything you're supposed to do, you don't follow the rules, it means that the building may not be as safe as it should be.
That's right. And I know we've heard of stories on the news of maybe bridges falling down or stadiums that kind of collapse, especially some of these buildings that are used for one-time events like the Olympics or the World Cup. Sometimes shortly after the event, a building will collapse or fall apart in one section of the building. So we really hope this doesn't happen during the Olympics.
Yeah, this would be terrible. It would be, you know, if people come there from all over, you know, the world and something bad happens, of course, you know, Brazil doesn't want that. And so they have to be careful not to cut too many corners, or it could cost them even more in the long run, right? So, you know, of course they want to get everything finished on time, but I'm sure that they don't want anything bad to happen. So they shouldn't cut too many corners. Well, this approach troubles IOC members. IOC is the International Olympic Committee. They are concerned about this idea. And they also say that Rio de Janeiro is further behind than Athens. And so I think this idea in Brazil of cutting corners and just finding a way to get something done concerns them even more, because they're even further behind than Athens was.
Right, right. You know, the Athens Games at the time that they were being held or being prepared for were considered to be quite behind. They were, there was a lot of concern, even the year that they were holding the event, whether or not they would be capable to do it. So the fact that Rio is even further behind than Athens is a real concern to these IOC members, because it's really going down to the wire. These preparations are really coming up to the last minute. It's almost as if you are just finishing up the stadium as people are walking in. That kind of idea, and that's very not safe, as Peter pointed out.
Yeah, down to the wire, the last minute, and a lot of things are conducted in that manner. You know, if something goes down to the wire, it just means that things are not finished until the very last moment, and that's not a good way to plan, especially something of this scale. It's so huge that if you do things like this, something may not be finished on time, right? And so we don't want things to go down to the wire. Unfortunately, that is what happens a lot of times. And we hope it, you know, will still be a success, but it, of course, is not ideal. Well, there is a long delay in construction on one of the clusters, and this is a former Army base. And where is that located, Ellen?
That is located in the working class North Rio region.
Okay, and what do we mean by working class?
Working class, I don't know if many of our listeners have heard of blue collar and white collar.
Mm.
Blue collar is just those the working class, those who work more, you know, jobs that involve a lot of physical labor,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to white collar, who are people who often go to offices or things like that.
Okay, so this is the area where this particular cluster is being constructed, and there is a long delay. And what events will be hosted there?
We have fencing, shooting, and mountain biking events. And there's probably going to be a lot more going on there. But,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, and fencing, of course, is, you know, when people are fighting with those long, thin swords. And so that's not maybe a common sport. Listeners, you may not have seen that before, but you might want to check that out. It's kind of interesting. And of course, the shooting and the mountain biking events. There are other sports. And this is among the biggest worries, because we see the word long there. It's not a short delay. It's a long delay in construction. And they are concerned that it won't be finished on time. What is another concern?
Another concern is whether they will be able to expand the capacity of the Olympic Stadium. So the capacity just means the ability to fit enough people into the stadium. So the current capacity right now is at 45,000, but they want to expand it to 60,000.
Okay, 45,000 to 60,000 spectators. We see that word spectators, we usually think of a sporting event. Those are the people watching. And when we think of going to a concert or something, do we use the term spectators? What do we usually use? We actually say audience, right?
Audience or concert goers.
Yeah, right. And so that's kind of a different usage there. But when we see spectators, we usually think of a sporting event, those who are watching that particular event. And so this will not begin until early 2016, this expansion. Okay, they want to extend that capacity. And so basically it seems like the Olympic organizers are kind of sitting back and saying, hey, you know, why didn't this start earlier? We're kind of concerned here. They're a bit anxious. And their hopes were that this would all have started earlier, I guess. Well, there are more fears, Peter, right?
That's right. They are fearing work stoppages or delays because of financing with the government. It sounds like Brazil's government has a couple layers, and that means there's just different parts of the government that need to talk and coordinate with each other. And it sounds like we've got problems there, too.
Yeah, if you have a work stoppage, well, how will the work be done? So that's a major concern. So work stoppage is when work is stopped because there's some disagreement. Maybe the workers and employers have a disagreement, and so the workers aren't working.
Especially when they're working around the clock, these people are going to be tired, and who knows what they're getting paid. So there's probably going to be some disagreements that are coming up, no matter how hard they work or how many people they hire. The workers might start to get a little bit underappreciated for what they're doing.
Yeah, and if there's a problem with money, well, then you can just forget about some things, right? Because if you don't have the money, you can't get it done, right? We all know that. And so we see this, if there's a delay in financing from the government, well, that could cause a lot of problems. That work might have to stop, right?
Right, exactly. And here we see that if the work stops, it will directly affect some transportation projects, specifically the metro line that will link Olympic sites between the beaches of Copacabana and Ipanema. And this is already the completion date they have now for that is already May 2016, which is cutting it down to the wire a little bit already. So if it is delayed even more, we don't know if it'll be completed at all.
That's right. And so, you know, we looked at the concerns on the first day, but I feel like here we get into more of, I guess, bigger concerns or more details about those concerns. And so there are many concerns, but there are also many expectations, high expectations, actually. As we end this article, we find out about those high expectations.
High expectations. Brazil is only the fourth country to play host to a World Cup and the Summer Olympics consecutively, and the first to try since the U.S., which held the most successful World Cup in history in 1994, followed by the Atlanta Games 2 years later. And with Brazil's World Cup having beaten long odds to finish successfully, the pressure is on the Olympic organizers in Rio de Janeiro to do the same thing. We are following the organizing for the World Cup, Einbinder said. I think the people in general were very satisfied with the organizational capacity for the country and the city. But we have experience with big events.
Well, Brazil is going into territory that few other countries have really stepped onto, right? They're only the fourth country to play host to a World Cup and the Summer Olympics consecutively.
Consecutively meaning just one right after the other. So, as we said earlier, the World Cup and Summer Olympics usually are 2 years apart. So Brazil is really only the fourth country to actually host both the World Cup and Summer Olympics, one after the other.
Okay, and so this means that there are some high expectations involved, right, Peter?
That's right. Everyone is expecting a good show, and this is Brazil. They want to showcase this place.
Okay, and this happened in the U.S. They also held the World Cup and the Summer Olympics consecutively, and they did a good job with that. And so they had the World Cup in 1994, and then they had the Atlanta Games, which we saw on our sidebar there. Yesterday we talked about that. It was in 1996, just 2 years later. And so there are high expectations here for Brazil because they look at what happened in the past in these other countries, and they're comparing it with, you know, what happened there, and they're hoping that things will go well in Brazil. And they've already got half of it done. They held a successful World Cup in 2014, and so they just have the other half to fulfill, right? Well, and with Brazil's World Cup having beaten long odds to finish successfully, I just talked about that, they beat long odds. What do we mean by that?
To beat long odds is really to do something in spite of maybe chances being very slim. So beating long odds was many people thought, oh, there's absolutely no way that they'll finish, but they did finish, so they beat those odds.
Okay, they were successful. So now the pressure is on. They have, you know, anytime you're successful, you feel like you need to do even better with the next thing, you know, in life. If you're competing and you've won something, you know, you're expected to do even better the next time. Well, they did well with the World Cup, so they're expected to do even better, or at least as well with the Olympic Games, right, Peter?
That's right. And Ian Binder says that we are following the organizational pattern that the World Cup had. So they're following, after that successful event, they're following the lead, and he assures us that this is going to be a good event as well.
And were the people satisfied? What does he say?
Yes, he says that in general, people were very satisfied with the organizational capacity for the country and the city. So people were very satisfied with the way the Brazil and Rio and the different cities that hosted things were able to accommodate and really host this big event.
And then he says, but we have experience with big events. And so I think he is setting a positive tone. He's saying, we've got this under control. It's okay. We have experience. We'll be all right. The Olympic organizers have a different view. They're looking at it, you know, just venue by venue and saying, hey, this is not finished. And they're kind of afraid that it will not be done on time. And so we'll have to wait and see to see which opinion is actually true. What will be the end result?
That's right. And I'm left a little bit confused because we have Ainbinder saying earlier in the article, hey, the World Cup and the Olympics are two different events. You can't compare the two. But at the end of this article, he says, don't worry, we're following exactly what the World Cup did. This event is going to be great. So I'm not sure. I'm not convinced. I think he's just saying whatever it'll take to get people to believe him that everything is under control.
That is a good point, Peter. That could be the case, that he is just trying to send out that positive message to, you know, make sure that people don't have too many fears. At the same time, I guess with any issue, you can look at things from a different angle. And so from one perspective, look at the other Olympic Games and learn from those. And you can take the good from the World Cup as well. And you can also spin things in different ways. There's, you know, when it comes to news, things are always coming from many different angles, Ellen.
Right. And I mean, on what Peter asked, I think some of it might just be this idea of how he approaches the pressure that comes with the Olympics. You know, you can't necessarily see the planning in the same way, World Cup and the Olympics, but both of them have very high pressure.
Mm.
So I think maybe some of it is just this idea of how both organizational groups are dealing with the pressure, and maybe some of what the World Cup group experienced, they're going to learn from some of the pressures and how they dealt with that and maybe apply it to this Olympic organizational team as well.
All right. Well, we will just have to wait and see what happens. We still have quite a bit of time before the games actually start. So we hope that they get everything finished on time and everything is ready for all the tourists and that everyone is safe and they don't cut too many corners, of course. And so we will have to wait and see if that will be the case. But before we end today, I want to ask our panelists to do a quick review of some of the words in this article. We have many words in bold, and we also have some other words in the article that we didn't define, but that are also good words, and I want to ask our panelists to choose from either of those, and I'll start with Peter.
All right. Well, one of these clusters where events will be held is in an upscale borough. And I really like this word, upscale. If it's a nice part of town, that's usually upscale. Or if you're looking to buy something nice, you can say, well, I'm looking for a more upscale model.
Okay. Very good. Very good word to use in your everyday vocabulary. Ellen?
I like the term down to the wire. I think it's a term that we can often use in our daily life. Many things can come down to the wire, especially when we're working on projects or doing homework. If you're a student, we might leave it to the last minute and it'll come down to the wire.
I also like this word infrastructure. Maybe it's not the best sounding word, but we use it a lot, especially in higher English, when you're writing papers, talking about politics, talking about things that are going on in the world. Cities run on infrastructure, mm-hmm. so you're going to use this word a lot when writing a paper, when you're talking to someone, reading the newspaper. We talk about it a lot.
Right, and we learned about those infrastructure projects. Some of them never got off the ground with the World Cup, and I like that phrase, get off the ground. If something is going to get off the ground, it's a project or something that you're working on, and that means that it's you're going to start something. And so that's a useful phrase. You know, you can use that in your everyday vocabulary. If it hasn't gotten off the ground, then it hasn't started. And we're glad that many of the projects here for the 2016 Olympics, they have gotten off the ground, but we hope that they actually are completed on time. And so you can stay tuned, continue to pay attention to the news, the sports world, to see what happens with the Olympics in 2016. We thank you for joining us this month for Advanced Studio Classroom, and we hope that you will join us again next month. Until then, this is Brandon.
This is Peter.
This is Ellen.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.